Good morning. You're listening to Day for Breakfast on the Great Southern's of Triple M, and it's an absolute pleasure to welcome in Associate Professor Nick Callow from Centre for Water and Spatial Science at UWA. Good morning, Nick.
Yeah, hi, David, and good day to all your listeners out there.
So I was talking earlier in the show about this new initiative, I suppose, could be that from WaterCorp. Now, any farmer with a dam, either for livestock or for farm use, will know that the evaporation of water at times can be very high, especially in summertime. But WaterCorp has been funded money for a new project that UWA researchers have been trialling over a 19-month period. This project consists of hundreds of thousands of plastic discs being placed on top of dams and in an attempt to reduce evaporation levels amid critical water deficiencies. What can you tell us about the plastic material of these discs that's made from?
Yeah, David, they're made from a recycled plastic material and they kind of form them into these hexagonal discs. And the broad idea of them is that they can kind of join together and then they hold themselves covering the top of the water, and then obviously in doing that they then stop the or reduce the evaporation save all that water from being lost to the environment and make it available for livestock or spraying or in this case for domestic water supply or emergency firefighting and those sorts of applications.
So how do they work reducing the evaporation?
Yes, they're basically forming a cover. The key thing that drives evaporation on dams and any exposed water body, it's that wind blowing across the surface, and in particular, really hot days and low humidity days have got a lot of potential for the air to absorb the moisture from the surface, and really it kind of disconnects the water body from the air. And, any way that you can do that, these floating covers, there's a couple of different other pool products, the products a bit like swimming pool covers, and it's the same sort of principle. You're just kind of separating the water from the air to stop the evaporation.
So a quick little question without notice. If you've got, say, yabbies or other creatures in your dams, would this affect their ability to breathe and the water's breathing ability?
Yes and no. We haven't looked at the amount of, say, like dissolved oxygen that you get into the water. One of the interesting things we did find when we did the trial down at Wellstead with the Water Corporation, though, was we suspect it keeps a lot of the ducks off the water. So we actually saw some of the water testing results that we looked at, things like E. coli that's presumably coming in from water birds and things like that, actually decreased under the covers. As far as we could see, there was no decline in dissolved oxygen or issues like that. So, they should be pretty environmentally safe for things like that. Obviously, very important that you don't lose your marrin and yabbies from the dam.
Most definitely. So how efficient are they in reducing the evaporation?
Yeah, what we found when we ran this trial across sort of winter and summer with people from the Water Corporation and crunched the numbers, what we found out is that they were pretty much on that 75% reduction of evaporation. So it really depends a little bit on conditions. So things like a really windy day, they'll tend to get blown around a bit. They're really quite effective and in this case saved a huge amount of water. And for the Water Corporation, effectively this is the difference between them needing to cart water into this location and avoiding it. And that's, I guess, why the Water Corporation's now looking to expand their trial so that they can better secure water supplies across the south of the state.
So would this method of evaporation reduction be beneficial for all regional farmers with dams or only for arid areas facing water deficiencies?
I think you've really got to think about different options that might suit people. So for some people, this could be a really suitable option. One challenge with this particular solution is that the cost is quite high. So for someone like Water Corporation and the value of drinking water and the costs of them carting emergency water are really quite high. So it can be an economic solution for them. But part of the work we're involved with through the Water Smart Dams project, we're actually looking at a range of different other sorts of covers. So we've actually got a few different growers out there at the moment who are trialling what are essentially very large swimming pool covers. And part of our work on that project will be to get some better numbers to understand, you know, what these different options. But certainly there are, you know, growers out there who are looking at these different options about trying to reduce evaporation so that they don't run out of water when we've had these, you know, these lean winters and then these hot, dry summers.
Most definitely. So where can farmers go to find out more information about this new initiative?
Probably the best place is if you have a look at the Water Smart Dams page. We've got a little bit of a gallery of some different sorts of technologies, and that's both evaporation covers and some of the other stuff we've been looking at, using things like subsurface drainage in areas where you might have water logging to harvest a bit of water, and also some clever stuff on using different sorts of surfaces for increasing runoff. So things like repurposed CBH tarpaulins or using plastic catchments that are really quite effective in running more water to the dam. So it's about growers looking at some of these different options and considering what's right for them and in which part of water supply and in farm water resilience they're going to look at in terms of pushing more water into a dam or trying to keep it, in there once they've got it.
Always good to keep your options open. Anything else you think farmers should know about this?
No, I just really encourage people. You know, the partnership that we're working on is a really great example of learning from what, you know, those really smart and innovative growers are doing out there. And, you know, if people got some interesting examples of us, you know, reach out and encourage people to work through, you know, their local, you know, grower groups and other, you know, networks that they've got to, work together and look at how they find solutions to making sure they've got enough water to run their farm businesses.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, Nick. It's an absolute pleasure discussing this further with you.
Thanks a lot, David, and all the best to all the listeners out there.
That was Associate Professor Nick Callow, Centre for Water and Spatial Science at UWA. You're listening to Dave for Breakfast on the Great Southern's Triple M.